Hello, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Look, you know, how often do I say Dennis Prager here and nobody hears it? So, welcome to the show. I will be having one of my favorite men of medicine on. He is in studio and he has saved a lot of lives, very possibly my own included. And I have shared him with you for the last few years, but I first need to bring you up to speed with regard to the president's press conference, which just ended in real time. Many of you hear this at different times of the day. Many of you hear it through Pragertopia, downloading the show. And so it just ended real time. And he has announced that he will send up to 300 U.S. military advisors to Iraq. And that is it. There will be no boots on the ground. He has reassured us and so on. And this is, I don't know what 300 U.S. military advisors will do except protect the embassy. I mean, it has nothing to do with ISIL, as he called it. I had heard it as ISIS until today, but both are used. ISIL is Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. The other is Islamic State in Iraq and in Syria and the Levant. Levant is that area of the Middle East. In any event, it's the same group. Same Islamist totalitarians who believe that all Shiites should die, all Christians should die, and all Jews should die. Other than that, however, they are a pretty upbeat group. And I just thought I'd share a little of their theology with you. It's deep theology. If you don't believe exactly as we do, you die. But it's not even, it's even actually more than that, because they also believe even within their realm of people who believe as they do, you are to be coerced at pain of death and or even torturous death at believing and agreeing and doing what they do, which may involve murder. And, of course, their view that women should not attend schools is well known, and they are brothers in ideology with the Taliban. As I said last hour, this would not take place. I said I've been saying this constantly. I said it when the president said he wanted to take all troops out of Iraq, which he now blames entirely on the Maliki government. So as I said last hour, and I'll just be very brief in repeating, I ask you what logic suggests. Do you believe that if this president had wanted to keep American troops in Iraq, he could not have done so because of the Iraqi government? Or do you believe that he used the Iraqi government's negotiations as a veil under which he would simply have now the excuse to pull out American troops? He promised he would take American troops out of Iraq. This was his vow to the American people. So it's not fully honest, is it, to say that it was all the Iraqi government? They danced with each other at this dance, the result of which is the decimation of Iraq and the ascendance of an enormous terror state known as an Islamic State, or the Caliphate, as they're calling it, in Syria and Iraq. This president did not arm the good opposition to Assad, Bashar al-Assad in Syria. As a result, the bad guys got to oppose him, and then it was a question of who do you think is worse, the al-Qaeda types or the Iranian-backed Assad regime. I still consider Iran to be the greatest threat to the world of the two, the greater threat and the greatest threat to the world. And now we are, as a result of this president's policies, moving in a direction of being an ally of the Iranian government. Iran has gone, thanks to this president, in 1 year from ostracized from the world politically and economically to now our ally in fighting terror in the Middle East when it is the biggest backer of terror in the world, Iran. It is not possible to overstate how much damage this president's policies have done, but because the press agrees with these policies, it is very rarely pointed out. And he can look with a straight face, which is amazing, and say it was the Maliki government that wanted our troops out. Not me. Why didn't one reporter say, Mr. President, didn't you promise the American people you would take troops out? So what does that mean to say it was the responsibility of the Iraqi government? You wanted us to leave. Okay, brings you a little up to date. Now let me go to my guest here, because I can't save the life of Western civilization. Maybe we can at least save your life, and I mean that. That is how highly I think of this doctor. And it was fortuitous that I got to meet him, because I believe that he has saved a lot of patients' lives. I have been a patient of his. He is a cardiothoracic surgeon, founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management. I mean, I know for certain, but I believe that when I look at Tim Russert, was that our man? Yeah. And others, you know, these men in their 50s who just one day get up and die. And you probably know of such a person in your own lives. I did. I didn't take a public figure like Tim Russert. But this doctor, Michael Richman, who has a spectacular record vis-a-vis his own patients. And this is not a paid commercial or anything. And by the way, I don't always agree with him. Not that it matters. I have no medical degree, which is pretty funny if I don't agree with him. But I'm not sure we'll agree on the saturated fat, because this Time article, Dr. Richman, did in fact move me. So we'll have a lively discussion on that. But I will tell you this. Every one of you does need to measure for something that he has taught me he believes was at the root of the misdiagnosis of so many Americans who have just fallen over and died of a heart attack and didn't have to be. We heard about Tim Russert. Remember, he had great cholesterol numbers. He was being treated, had great cholesterol numbers. How many people with great cholesterol numbers die of a heart attack? So why? Turns out that we have lipids, that's the term, correct? And they're not measured for. Lipoproteins, that's it. You'll tell me the difference between a lipoprotein and a lipid. What is the difference?
Lipoprotein's the car.
Remember? Oh, lipoprotein is the car. Lipid is the passenger. All right, is his microphone on? All right, feel free to turn it on at any time.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna kill my ear.
Now, how often, Dr. Richman, are you introduced with a musical bed? Right? When you meet your patients, you should play this. Dr. Michael Richman, again, cardiothoracic surgeon, founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management. He is located in Santa Monica, California. And you taught me, and I have been good at repeating this, that when your cholesterol is measured, they measure the passengers that are traveling in your bloodstream, but they don't measure the cars, and it's the cars that matter. Cars cause traffic, not passengers, right? If all the passengers are in buses, there are very few vehicles on the road. But if there is one passenger per vehicle, there are a lot of vehicles in the road. And the vehicle is the lipoprotein. And that's what you need to be measured for.
Correct.
So welcome back, Dr. Richman, the hardest working man I know. You might actually work worse hours than the living martyr, and you would be the first to do that. I'm a slouch compared to both of you. But you work, I know how hard
Thank
you work.
Thank you. I was up all night last night reading for the show and, yes, doing work, but... You know, I just want to use this opportunity to apologize to my patients and everybody, because I know I've set the standard really high and the bar really high, and the last 6 months has been really difficult, you know, that my father passed away and my best friend passed away at 50 of a heart attack, who also had very bad lipoproteins but wouldn't listen to me. He's a doctor. On anything.
Oh, well, he was a doctor? Oh, that explains it.
So he died in his sleep. And... I have been, you know, combine that with what's going on in healthcare, I can't work any harder, and I've set the bar high, so patients expect me to do everything, and I apologize.
Well, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about what's happening with doctors, too. We could have a marathon session, so we're going to talk about doctors, medicine, and your health, and Time Magazine's cover that says, Eat Butter, coming up on The Dennis Prager Show. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here with Dr. Michael Richman. I brought you up to date with the president and Iraq. This has been long scheduled, and I did not want to defer this because I think he can save lives. I'm certain of it, in fact. And one way, I feel a moral obligation to just say once again, you need to, when you get a blood test, you need not just to, you check for the usual cholesterol levels, but for lipoprotein. And I'll ask you the question I've asked you every single time that you have come on, Dr. Richman, who's a cardiovascular surgeon, founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management. You have a website, right?
Lipidcenter.com.
Which is up at DennisPrager.com as well, in case you don't remember the name of it. Lipid Center, L-I-P-I-D. If it's so important to measure for lipoproteins, why don't most doctors do that when people come in for checkup?
Well, let's just start historically first, and I think this is important. I was in Florida a couple months ago, and I had the honor of giving a talk at the largest cardiac prevention conference, and they're all cardiologists or internists. I'm the only surgeon in the United States that does this. How does a heart surgeon prevent a heart attack? Okay, pretty great topic, because I could just lay into them and say whatever I felt. And I first showed the statistics that they try and pretend like somehow the mortality has gotten better, and this is what every year the American College of Cardiology, American Heart Association publishes stroke and heart attack guidelines. And the funny thing is, I showed right there how the number of deaths from heart attacks has not changed from 1976, because I have a cardiac surgery book called Myocardial Revascularization that isn't printed anymore from 1976, and it's the same. They've just changed the name. Cardiovascular disease, which encompasses stroke and everything, versus coronary artery disease. So they play with numbers. But this year, every 34 seconds, an American has a heart attack, and every minute, somebody will die from one. So they consider that better than 5 years ago. So maybe 5 years ago, every 55 seconds, somebody would die of a heart attack. So it's ludicrous, number one. So let's get back to historically. Why has so little changed over 40 years? Because there is a group that just fails to recognize, because of grandstanding, because it brings them notoriety, of what biology is, and they forget the fundamental thing that was in 1967, Dr. Friedrichsen, who was head of the National Heart, Lung, Blood Institute Heart Division at NIH. We still call it the Friedrichsen Cholesterol Classification today. He almost won the Nobel Prize. And the New England Journal, lead article, best journal, wrote, we need to be looking at lipoprotein particles, not lipids, because they provide us with, I'm going to read you the exact, he says, all abnormalities in plasma lipid concentrations or dyslipidemia, which is abnormal cholesterol, should be called dyslipoproteinemia, in other words, abnormal CARs. The shift of emphasis to this offers distinct advantages in recognition and management of disorders. Friedrichsen et al., New England Journal of Medicine, 1967. Okay? So he figured it out because science, certain things are just the way they are. And take a bottle of oil and vinegar salad dressing.
So my question is, why has it not caught on?
Why is it taking so long?
Why aren't doctors routinely measuring for lipoproteins?
Okay, let's take reality today, as we talked about. How long do I spend with each patient? 45 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour? Okay, $80. So you can't afford to do it, number one. Number two, you don't learn it in medical school. Number three, guys just don't want to wrap their hands around anything that's going to complicate their lives and complicate...
Guys, by guys, you mean doctors.
Doctors, yes. Guys and girls. That is going to complicate and make it more difficult. And today, I got to tell you, I do understand it a little bit more why they're doing it, because if they only can prescribe a generic statin at the end of the day, wash their hands of it, that's making their lives a whole lot easier. But they don't fundamentally understand it. But let's take the Time magazine article, okay?
The latest. Guess
what it says in here.
Eat butter.
Yeah, but guess what it says? It says, scientists now know that there are different kinds of LDL particles. Wow. They're just recognizing it? I mean, it's in this article. So now finally there's particles, large and small ones. The large ones seem to be harmless. Incorrect, because the size of a hole in an artery wall is 70 nanometers. And the largest LDL particle is 22 nanometers, and the smallest one is 18 nanometers. So guess what? 18 or 22 or 23, that's a lot smaller than a hole that's 70. So they're all going through based on the biological principle of diffusion, which some people think is osmosis, which states that if you have a membrane with holes in it, stuff flows from a lot to a little. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do you argue with that? So take a bottle of oil and vinegar salad dressing, flip it on its side. The oil's on the top, the vinegar's on the bottom. So pretend that's cholesterol and blood. When they do regular testing, they just measure the amount of cholesterol. That doesn't tell you anything. How's it going to go anywhere? So the body packages it in these circles. Like, think of it as an envelope in order to let it be soluble in the blood. And the way it gets into the wall is the more particles you have, it goes into the wall of the artery via diffusion. It's a biological concept. You can't argue with it. Nobody does. It gets eaten up by a cell, and that's the hallmark of atherosclerosis, and it lays down plaques.
Which is what people call hardening of the arteries.
Correct. So they write in here, they say, the observation now that particles... quote, led me to wonder how strong the evidence was for that connection between saturated fats and heart disease, says Dr. Ronald Krauss, a noted cardiologist and researcher who's done pioneering work on LDL. Quote, there's a risk that people have been steered in the wrong direction by using LDL cholesterol rather than looking at LDL particles. Okay, so first time I've seen in any article... They're acknowledging, hey.
So you're vindicated.
Well, I've been vindicated for years.
Oh, certainly by me. I couldn't.
You know, but nobody buys. You know, it's anecdotal when I say to somebody, yeah, since 2005, nobody I've taken care of has had a heart attack or stroke. Now maybe they've died and they never called me.
Right, that's true.
But.
Yep, I believe it. 1-8-PRAGER-776. Every one of you listening. By the way, is that true? Even young people should be measuring for lipoprotein?
At 8 years old, the American College of Pediatrics says you can put a kid on a statin whose parents died.
Back in a moment. Dennis Prager here. The president gave his news conference, and he will be sending 300 people to protect the U.S. Embassy. Otherwise, Iraq can burn. And we left, and we shouldn't have left. I said that at the time. We shouldn't leave Afghanistan. We didn't leave South Korea. If you want to know what South Korea would be like, just take a look at Mosul and what has happened to its people. Okay, that was communists. This was Islamists. That's the only difference. It's how you're tortured to death, the various modes that in which they differ. I have in my studio the doctor that I have been featuring here a couple of times a year for the last few years. He is also my doctor, Michael Richman, cardiothoracic surgeon and founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management. man of great passion and tremendous amount of knowledge in his field, has been honored for his work repeatedly, lectures around the country to medical groups, and has warned us about lipoproteins, and I have taken the warning, and I think that it has done terrific things for me in terms of the lessened likelihood of any cardiac cardio incident. Now, so you should all get your lipoproteins checked and measured. They are the cars. The other cholesterol measurements are the passengers, but it is the number of cars that block highways, not the number of passengers. Ron in Houston, Texas. Dennis Prager, hi.
Hi, Doc. Should I be ordering a Berkeley test from my doctor or a VAP test by Athrotech? What test should I be requesting?
I mean, I don't want to bum wrap, you know, one company versus another. I'm not on anybody's payroll, first of all, so I don't have any, you know, interest in saying it. As Dave Chappelle says, you know, he drinks Coke and Pepsi, tastes great, whoever paid me last. I don't operate under that, but what you should have is an NMR, which is basically an MRI of the blood, and have your LDL particles check. A VAP test is nothing more than measuring the liquid cholesterol in the particles once they're separated out. So it's not helpful, and as far as I'm concerned, it's not the best. And in fact, the American College of Cardiology and American Diabetic Association, the American College of Clinical Chemists, we can go on with five major organizations, Europeans, all say that the best is LDL particles. However, throughout the world, you can get something called ApoB, which is a measure of all the bad particles together that cause heart disease. But 95% of the bad particles are these LDL particles, so an NMR.
Okay, Bobby, Long Beach, California, Dr. Michael Richman and Dennis Prager.
Hi, good morning. I've heard you talk with the doctor before, and I just wanted to clarify something. I'm still not sure whether this is something you can just go to your doctor and ask him to perform in terms of a measurement for a blood test, or is this a specialized thing that only certain doctors or labs can do?
Your doctor... First of all, remember, most doctors don't draw blood in their offices. So the answer to that is it's very difficult to get it at your doctor's office. If he does do it, he doesn't know what it is, and he doesn't understand it. Your generalist is not going to understand it. LabCorp, which is the largest lab in the United States, you can get it from there, and they send it to the company that does it. I use a lab which is the most comprehensive lab in the United States, Health Diagnostic Laboratories, who does stuff that no other lab does. And I would be dead in the water without them. But yes, the problem is even if you got it done, I'm actually doing now, people are able to go on my website and get to-go kits, and HDL will send them a kit, and your insurance covers it 100%. And then, you know, I'll have a conference with you on the phone.
Good. All right. Back in a moment, I want to talk to the doctor about how doctors are faring economically. All right, everybody. The sort of semi-annual visit with Dr. Michael Richman, cardiothoracic surgeon, founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management. Don't forget, ask about getting your lipoproteins measured and where you can do that. I've been convinced that that is critical, and that's why a lot of people who supposedly have low cholesterol will then end up with some, what do you call it, cardio event? What is the word you doctors use? It's an event.
I just don't call it anything, a cardiovascular event, a heart attack, a non-fatal event.
A non-fatal event, there you go, or fatal event for that matter. Time Magazine's cover is Eat Butter, that we have been misled about the dangers of saturated fat to producing heart attacks and other events. What do you say?
I say, first of all, quick education. Everybody does not understand cholesterol and saturated fats are two different things, okay? So in the article, it says LDL cholesterol causes atherosclerosis. So let's get everybody needs to understand that, okay, is that cholesterol and saturated fats are two different things. They're in butter, okay. There is cholesterol, and there's also fats.
Right.
Okay? So here's saturated fats are bad for you, period. I will give you the argument why and then the argument why they say it's not. Okay. Coconut oil is the big fad now in the United States. It's a saturated fat. It has more saturated fat than anything. 91% coconut oil saturated fat. Butter is 63% saturated fat. Beef is 50. Okay? So coconut oil now is the thing. Cooking coconut oil. Because Dr. Oz says it. Well, let me just tell you. Here's who recommends against the consumption of saturated fats. The FDA, the World Health Organization, International College of Nutrition, British National Health Service, Dietitians of Canada, American Diabetic Association, American College of Cardiology. Okay? Recommend against it. Here's the argument why people thought it's good for you. It has something called lauric acid in it, L-A-U-R-I-C, saturated fats. It increases your bad cholesterol, but it also increases your good cholesterol. But it increases your bad cholesterol a little more. So this ratio that people have talked about is better. So, it's got to be good for you. But what nobody mentions that the recent failures in two huge trials of raising HDL, the good cholesterol, which have been a failure and have actually shown that it does nothing. So raising HDL, as we had talked about in the last show, has been abandoned. It's not supported by that because it's saturated fats. What the body does when you eat a lot of fats is it packages them in a different type of particle called not LDL particle, but a VLDL particle. And within 3 hours, that VLDL particle becomes an LDL particle. So guess what? What do you think the end result is? Too many cars.
Right. The article in Time. Wait, so I just want to understand. Saturated fat, you said separate cholesterol from what was it? From fat?
Fats. Saying to you that saturated fats raise cholesterol levels.
Okay, so they're not talking cholesterol in this article in Time, right?
They're
talking about weight and heart attacks.
No, they're saying that they're talking about cholesterol causing atherosclerosis, but they're saying that it doesn't raise bad cholesterol as much as they thought in certain studies. But what people need to understand is in all nutrition studies, you've got to replace one ingredient for another. Because you can't starve people. So if you take out fats, you've got to replace it with carbohydrates. You can't use a placebo. There's no such thing as a placebo.
Right.
So we're not talking about weight loss here, okay? We're talking about cardiovascular risk, okay? So this is where the article's confusing. If you eat less of anything and you exercise more, you're going to lose weight, okay? So you could eat saturated fats and lose a ton of weight. Your blood will be like oil, and your arteries will clog. You'll lose weight. You'll be thinner. But guess what? 23% of people who have insulin resistance are not obese.
So it sounds to me like you would like people to be on a vegan diet.
No, not at all. Okay, and that's a whole other set of problems.
In 30 seconds, what is your ideal diet for your patient?
I think the Mediterranean diet is the best way of eating. Forget the word diet. There is no such thing diet because
I don't mean diet by 10 weeks or 10 months. Well, a regular way of eating, what is the best way of eating?
Okay, well, I just want to say this. We need to remember one thing, and this is what everybody forgets, is genetic factors, your hereditary, and your environmental factors determine everything. You need to individualize people. And what we've done now even more so is we've grouped everybody together.
I see. So there isn't one best way of eating.
Okay, you don't eat a lot of food.
Right, that's correct.
And guess what? What do you have trouble doing?
Losing weight.
Correct. Okay, why? Because you're different than me. How come I can eat Lucky Charms?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why today is there more obesity when kids are eating kale? you know, and on the menu, haircut verts, you know, I always laugh at that, H-A-R-C-O-T, you know, greens. And I eat snack pack chocolate pudding, and I'm thin. That's what's fine, because everybody has forgotten one thing. And remember, I talked about the mummy study. It was in Time magazine last year and everything. They CT scanned 127 mummies spanning 4,000 years. Several of the groups, the Peruvian mummy groups, were vegans. But guess what they found? 34% of mummies had coronary artery disease, the same in every group. And they didn't have Dairy Queen. And women and young mummies had coronary artery disease. So that goes against everything they say here. It is what it is. You cannot control your genetics. Okay? So you need to individualize people, look at somebody and say, Dennis Prager is higher risk than Michael Richman. He needs to eat differently. And carbohydrates, yeah, fats are horrible, but why are carbohydrates bad? Because they stimulate insulin production and they cause fat deposition. So it's all tied together.
All right, final segment coming up. All right, everybody, Dennis Prager here. I had promised that we would talk about the crisis in doctors' pay. It's such a large subject that I am going to defer that to its own hour, and forgive me, folks. But both Dr. Richman and I thought it'd be best to concentrate on your issues. I'm going to read some of your calls because we don't have much time at all. Dr. Michael Richman is a cardiothoracic surgeon. He is my doctor, and he is the founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management. There is no ad here. It's just I think that he is extremely responsible and extremely knowledgeable, and so do many other doctors, why he lectures to doctors. Let me read to you some of the questions here, Dr. Richman. And let's see. Chris has a 19-year-old son who has very high cholesterol, only weighs 120 pounds. What are your thoughts on why this might be the case? It looks like, any comments, or is there...
The simple answer is because that's the way it is. Hypercholesterolemia, the one where you have one gene from parent, is the most common genetic disease in the United States. 1 in 300 people have abnormal cholesterol. 1 in 300. Pretty profound. So this is normal. It starts as a baby.
Have you ever heard this? This is an interesting question. Has the effort to lower lipids contributed to an increase in Alzheimer's disease? Have you ever heard about that?
Actually, the National Lipid Association just put out a new update from the Statin Safety Task Force talking about, you know, the cognitive effects, because there have not ever been in any study cognitive effects shown. In fact, there's 3 studies now that have shown with actual testing that people with Alzheimer's did better on statins. Their cognitive scoring now.
Really?
Now, remember one thing. Any medicine can cause anything in anybody, and that's idiosyncratic.
That's right. That's very important for people
to remember. And it's also important for people to remember that if you don't want to take a medicine and you're fighting it in your own head or your spouse is making you, guess what? You're going to have every side effect known to man.
Karen asks, well, she knows the population has gotten more obese, so why is it that heart attacks have not increased?
They haven't increased. They've stayed the same. But you're talking about here statistics. And the problem is, as I said in the beginning of the show, it hasn't gotten any better. It still stayed the same. So the number has gotten worse. We're just dealing with age-adjusted. So what statisticians now, they use the word age-adjusted or population-adjusted.
LipidCenter.com is his website. It's also up at DennisPrager.com. Dr. Richman, thank you for all your work for me and for my listeners. You are listening to The Dennis Prager Show.